For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 270. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at TurnerSparks.com. You can find me in New York City all this summer. I will be back on the road in the fall doing stand-up comedy. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. I'm at Turner Sparks on Instagram. I got to get my Instagram numbers up, Cap.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for you because you don't have kids. I just use my kids and my dog just to get all my numbers up. I don't do anything myself.
I don't have either.
You don't got either. I got to
have a kid so I can get my Instagram numbers higher. That's the main point of having children.
The main number one reason for children is social media. So you hand the ball off. Sometimes you can't take all the shots in the game. You need someone else to carry the offense. They can carry all the creative because it's cute. It doesn't seem over the top when you post their stuff.
So, everyone loves to see kids.
And then you really take it up a notch. I got a dog in a wheelchair. So that's like extra level.
I saw a competing dog in a wheelchair the other day walking down the street in New York City. I was saying Pancakes Kaplan's going to be very upset.
Yeah, you should tell her Pancakes. Your dog's, I feel bad for your dog, but Pancakes Kaplan's cuter. So
on the podcast today, Kaplan, we're talking about Hungary. We have joining us in a few minutes. We have stand-up comedian Gergely Litkoi coming to the show. Gergely, I'll tell you all about him later, but he founded Hungary's first stand-up comedy club. So we're going to get into that. Plus, we're going to learn about the strongman prime minister, Viktor Orban of Hungary. I've heard about him tangentially, but I don't know much about him at all. We'll get into that in a minute. But Kaplan, before that, we need people to join our Patreon.
Seriously.
Patreon channel. Our numbers are going down. I don't know how this is happening.
We're getting better. The show is getting better.
Our Lost in America numbers are going up.
They're going. It's like
more people are listening to this show, but less people are then deciding they decide we're good enough to talk about politics.
But it's very strange because we're
world politics, but we're not good enough to talk about ourselves.
No, we know more about the world than ourselves, apparently, more interested.
Which is untrue. We just came up with most recent episode, we came up with like six ideas on how to solve the abortion crisis in America. So, but we're not giving those out for free. It's $5 a month if you want to hear those ideas.
We've got some great ideas. I have a big announcement that I'm going to be making. I'm not going to make it on this show because this is free. So if you want big announcements in my life, you got to go to Patreon. So,
Kaplan is gay.
Plus, lots of pluses, whatever I'm going to announce.
At minimum, he's a plus.
I'm a minimum of plus, but that's a teaser. The rest of it's coming on the Patreon.
Guess who else won't hear that announcement because they don't listen to our Patreon show? Your wife, Randy Kaplan. She is a subscriber, but I don't think she listens very often.
No, but that's okay. We don't mind. If you guys want to subscribe to our Patreon show to support us, you don't have time to listen, that's fine.
Is it would probably be important for her to learn that you're gay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but Tug will know before Kaplan's wife will know.
She's that'll explain a lot.
Kaplan.
All
right. So patreon.com/lostinamerica. That's where you go. $5 a month. You get us doing our comedy podcast a few times a week. 30-minute show. Listen to it on the way to work. It takes, as we've said before, no matter where you live in America, it takes 30 minutes to get to work.
Yes.
Even if you work at home, there's stuff to do.
If you work from home, you got to get from the bathroom to
this. Are you doing laundry?
Walk your dog.
flipping eggs.
This is the reason you want, this is the reason you fight to work at home. If you're one of those elites who could still work from home.
Yes.
So you can listen to our podcast while you work. So that's the reason.
$10 and if you move to the suburbs,
go ahead. I was gonna say, if you're one of those people who moved like 2 hours away because you don't want to have to commute and now you got to commute, we got 3 episodes a week for you.
Look at that. For $10 a month, we went to number one in Armenia, famously.
Yes, we did.
And now you get our mug, which I'm holding up here for everyone watching us on YouTube. You can, for $10 a month, we will send you a Lost in America number one in Armenia mug. And for all of our Armenian fans out there, we drew the map the old way.
The proper map.
Yeah.
The only map of this podcast.
Before they lost the war last year. Yeah.
I just spilled coffee all over myself trying to show that off for the camera. I'm a mess.
All right. Anyway. Well, I'll leave from here on out. Anyway, for $20 a month, you get your own ad on this show. So that's it. Patreon.com/Lost in America. And you get the joy of supporting the arts. You're a patron of the arts. It's tax deductible, probably, maybe.
There are countries in the world, perhaps the one we're going to talk about today, where they where the arts are, might be under attack. Who knows? And in this country, you can support them by supporting us. All right.
Speaking of that, let's get to it, Kaplan.
Yes.
What do you know about Viktor Orban and what's happening in Hungary?
What, I mean, my main thing I know is that he's I hear it from the American conservatives, the Fox Newses, the Tucker Carlson types. They just are smitten with this guy, Orban. I keep seeing like profiles of him. They love him. He's going to speak at CPAC. Is CPAC? That's the conservative conference here in America. He's like one of the headliners. He's like one of the main, and he's not an American politician. It's like an American politician.
Does Trump go to that or no?
Oh, I'm sure Trump. Yeah, Trump loves this guy too. I think Trump and him are buddies.
Okay.
So I just think he's like really, he got on early. He was an early adopter to the nationalist, populist, right-wing craze that's sweeping the world. Like, this guy's been doing it for a decade. Anti-immigrant, anti-gay. He was the first don't say gay politician.
Yeah.
But he's ironically, because Hungary is a former communist country, and he was one of the, you know, who got freedom and democracy. But he, I believe, is very tight with Putin. He's the one guy in Europe who is who's got Putin's back.
And it's interesting because he's tight with Putin, but they're also Hungary. If you do a little digging, you'll find out they're also part of the EU.
Yes, that's the he's
part of the European Union. So how are you tight with Putin and part of the European Union? That's got to ruffle some feathers. As you said, that's got to cause an issue or two, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, he's like Putin's inside man. He's giving them all the what they're saying about him at the meetings.
Well, so. I want to find out what's happening there. What's happening? How that squares with Ukraine? I would imagine be an issue.
Yeah, and I know they don't want to put sanctions on Russia the way the rest of Europe does.
But also, we should say he just got reelected in April.
Yes,
right. So somebody likes him. So,
well, we're going to find out if there are real elections or if, because I know people
from
are saying,
what I've read, he seemed to be democratically elected. I don't know, but it seemed to be somewhat of a fair election, but I don't really know. So anyway, let's get our guest in. This guy is fantastic. He was brought to us by our good friend, Peja Bajovic, who our listeners know and love out there in Croatia. Man opened the first comedy club in Hungary. He also was the first program director at Comedy Central Hungary. Very cool.
Wow.
Everybody, please welcome Gerge Litkoi. Gerge, welcome to the show. How did we do on our synopsis of your country's prime minister?
Yes, it's hard to summarize it because it's 12 years now, I guess. He started it 2010. This cycle, because he was elected first time, I guess, around 2000. So it was his first term as a prime minister. And now he was voted or his party was voted with a 2/3 majority in the parliament. So the majority of Hungarians love Viktor Orban, I have to tell, if we call this 2/3 majority a real majority. I guess 7.3 million people haven't voted for him, but the rest did.
What percentage of, so how many people roughly are in Hungary?
It's 10 million altogether.
10 million.
Less than 10 million.
Less than 10 million. And how many people vote? Like, what percentage of people vote?
It's altogether, I guess it was 2.7 million votes he got, if I remember correctly.
All. Okay.
So that's a lot. So it's an absolute majority, even if we check the numbers.
It was a legitimate election. It was like a real. It was a legitimate election, though, right?
It was a legitimate election. So there are little tricks in the system. For example, the government and the governing party. Sorry, but my child started.
It's okay. No problem.
He's got a big Instagram game too, because he's got children. So
yeah. Oh, many guys.
It's all right. He's dealing with, so we have to deal
with different issues. So family issues.
No problem.
And also state issues. So returning to the topic of the voting. So the first problem or the first interesting thing that the government supported Fidesz as a party, which is quite strange. And there are also civil organizations supported or funded by the government, and they also supported financially the campaign of the governing party. So altogether, it was 11 times what the government and their supporters spent, what the opposition spent, which I won't say it's a fair play, because in Hungary there are regulations what a party can spend, and even they were over this limit as a party. If we summarize it, it was multiple times more that it is allowed by the law or legal regulations. And so the second,
just to jump in quickly, Fidesz is the for our listeners, Fidesz is the party of Viktor Orban.
Yeah.
So to recap what you just said, the government, which usually will stay out of an election in most countries, they'll let the parties get elected however they get elected. They don't support one person or the other. The government actually gave money support to Viktor Orban's party,
like campaign contributions, basically.
A campaign contribution when he was running against his opposition.
Yeah, that's...
And they don't give to the other parties.
So while, yes, he did get the most votes, the media, he had more money to go do advertisements and all that.
Yeah, and it is only the advertising or the advertisement money because the state media is totally controlled by the government. So it's not the BBC standard media, but it is supported with 100 billion forints. And it there was the leader of the opposition who could spend 5 minutes altogether in 4 years in state media.
That's fair. 5 minutes. You gotta be brief. Get to the point.
Tight five.
Edit yourself. Tight five. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you have to pull yourself together when you have such a big opportunity in 4 years, in 5 minutes.
And is so that the law?
It has to be dense.
You got to talk fast.
Mm. Yeah.
Bring some props.
Wait, Gerge, is that the law that you can own? That they get 5 minutes in 4 years, or that's
just- yeah, because there is a regulation for elections where all parties have 5 minutes to present their program, and because they didn't dare, I guess, to change that, that's why all the parties had these 5 minutes. But for 4 years, they had nothing in media. They are not invited. Once even opposition representatives stormed the state television building in order to get into it and have some presence in Hungarian state television.
Did they succeed? Got an extra minute?
It was quite an awkward situation because the I guess that even the opposition is not the best of all given oppositions in the world in Hungary. So there was a female representative who tried to enter through a door, but she didn't succeed.
She got caught sneaking into the
TV. She couldn't open it. So it was quite sad for the country, but quite funny for us.
Oh, she couldn't open, like she physically couldn't
open the door.
No, because it was to pull and
it was pushing.
Tried to push. and
I mean, that's how democracy dies.
Yeah,
you don't deserve to be elected if you get
figured out. It is closed. We cannot enter and someone opened the door.
Someone just came and opened it open.
Yeah.
Type security.
Oh my God.
That always gets me. I hate when I think I'm going in for a pull and it's a push.
Yeah. That's why I say that Hungary is not a proper dictatorship, not a proper democracy. We do everything at the 70% level. So that's what we can read.
And so he won with 2.7 million votes in a country of 10 million. So as you say, over 7 million people didn't vote for him, whether they didn't vote at all or they voted for the opposition.
I guess it's not the biggest problem because if you see different election systems or electoral systems, yeah, you can win even a very small majority, total elections and or all the seats in the parliament in Britain, for example, because if you win, then you take all the votes. In Hungary, there is a compensation system. So even the votes are counted, which are not resulting in a seat in the parliament. So it's not a very bad system. It's a quite sophisticated system. I guess if you put everything together, then you see the whole picture. So in Hungary, for example, the countryside is really Fidesz supporter. So they try to do some kind of gerrymandering, you know, that cities put together with the countryside, but they hadn't have to do something big because geographically it's Hungary, just a bit tweaking on the system to make it work. And which is very interesting that even the winner is compensated. So if you are the winner in an elections, you get the some percentage of the lost votes or some pieces from the lost votes that were casted for you.
Wait, you get what? If you're the winner, you get...
Yeah, then there is a so-called, we call it, political scientists call it a winner compensation system.
And a winner compensation system.
Yeah, so they get also additional votes.
But you get more votes for winning.
Yeah. It's if we put it very simply, yes. But it's a more complicated system. But it's a bit absurd.
Oh, so if your party wins, you get even more votes as a percentage.
Yeah. But not for winning. But for the lowest votes that were casted for the winner are not. Turned into seats in the parliament, they get also compensation for that.
Okay. And as you said, in the countryside, they support Viktor Orban's party, they support Fidesz. So what is it about the countryside everywhere?
It's the same everywhere, yeah.
It supports, middle Hungary. America, it's Trump, when Trump wins, he wins with the rural, he always loses in the cities and wins in the countryside.
Yeah, it's exact same dynamic.
It's hard to answer what is the problem with the countryside. In Hungary, my feeling is that there was not a real alternative. So in the US, you've got Democrats, you've got Republicans. In Hungary, the opposition is a quite a mess. So there is the far right party who tried to enter into the center, which was very funny because people were busted with Heil Hitler's and other pictures. And
earlier.
He thought that it was the center, Heil Hitler?
Yeah, and they tried to...
No, they were the far right. They tried to adopt to the center. Because what happened... I'll explain quickly for our listeners. What happened is Orban was so powerful, so strong in getting, it seemed like he was going to get reelected. All of the opposition parties banded together.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. To go against him. Quite, so you had the Nazis and joining like environmentalists all together.
Yeah, everything together. And there was
the feminazis.
Yeah, but far right people. I do not want to be very, very edgy about this.
Yeah,
but there was a pre-election in Hungary, which was organized as a civil organization to know who is the most potent candidate for a seat in the parliament. And so it was a quite strange situation because you can vote also for the prime minister candidate or the shadow prime minister. And after the first round, there was a second round, and the third came up third was named as the prime minister because of dealings in the opposition. And after that, he was the shadow prime minister or the prime minister running against candidate. Orban. And they lost. He lost. And then the opposition said that it was his fault. but they elected it. And then it was his fault. So so the first one is that there is no real alternative for the countryside to vote for, because if you are conservative, it was a joint list with left-wing parties, liberals, green parties, and even this far-right party, which is quite confusing for a voter that they were blaming them and shaming them for years, and they now are acting together. It is a major problem in Hungary. The second one that for the countryside, there is a lot less information sources than in Budapest, for example. The local media in little cities or villages was bought up by the government, by a foundation. It's called Cashmo, which sounds very ominous. It's Central European Media Foundation. It's an abbreviation for that. And all the local news outlets were bought by this propaganda machine, and they are just pushing the central messages to them. So it is very hard to get independent information in the countryside. The third one, I guess it used to be a right wing or conservative part of Hungary forever. So maybe there were the major difference was that the bigger cities were better off earlier with the left or the opposition, but now they lost also a lot of voters there, not mainly, but because this mix up. For example, this far right party, I guess, lost several hundred thousand votes because they ran together with their arch enemies.
Yeah, everyone pissed off their bases, basically.
Yeah.
So Viktor Orban, since he's coming to power, I know he was prime minister once in the past, but from 2010 until now, it's been 12 years straight of him as the prime minister. Kaplan did some research. It looks like what he did, just to go through a few things he's done in the past, he removed gender studies from master's programs at universities, banned subjects at Hungarian universities. He outlawed you're not allowed to like change your birth. Well, your gender, I guess. You can't change.
He was
your
on
gender.
Top of this is years ago. He was doing this.
No, same-sex couple adoptions.
Yeah.
All the familiar things that they're just
the culture wars
now
that we do
Florida.
Here. We call it. Yeah.
Republican dreamland, Hungary.
He made it a Republican dreamland.
Republican heaven.
This is why he's headlining CPAC.
But the main thing he's done, which I think also there's, if you go, not all Republicans, but if you go far right, they would agree with, is he's very close to Vladimir Putin. Right. And the far left in America would love that as well, actually. But he seems to have hitched his entire his wagon or whatever you want to call it to Russia and to Putin. So when this war came about with Ukraine, he's one of the last countries, and you can tell me if this is correct, but from what I've read, he has Hungary as one of the last countries still supporting, or I guess staying neutral in this. Is that right?
Yeah, but starting from the gender issues, just very, sure. One very typical gender issue, which was very sad and funny. We had the pandemic in Hungary. It was, I guess, the third wave, where it had a very high death toll in Hungary. And on a Friday evening, I guess it was after 8 p.m., the leader of the Christian Democratic Party just filed a bill that stated that if you are changing your gender, you have to show it in your ID, your original name and gender. So we were just thinking about it. What was the experience that made him file this bill? What happened last night that he had to incorporate in the Hungarian body of laws this very important.
He got tricked, maybe.
Yeah, that crying game.
Yeah, he went out with what he thought was a beautiful lady, and
and turned out that it wasn't true. Yeah,
hey, it gets lonely during the pandemic. We all
got a little surprised.
but it was in the middle of the pandemic, so no one could guess what happened. Or we have several problems. People are dying, and now you cannot change your gender without a trace in your ID. And with the relationship with Putin, I guess it's very interesting for me because I studied law and I studied also in Moscow Russian constitutional law, which is quite absurd, I must admit. Viktor Orban is... it started out as an opportunist approach that, we are, if we have no money from the European Union, we will get money from China and we will get some support from Russia. We will build a Russian nuclear plant. We will nuclear power plant. We will have some Russian investments. We will have a Russian bank in Hungary, that is FSB, the Russian CIA cover body in Hungary, but we support it very gladly. And I guess the biggest pitfall in the last 2 months was that all the diplomatic exchanges were decoded by the Russians, and they read all the diplomatic exchanges in the Hungarian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And it came out that it was not a beautiful hacking or like a Mission Impossible movie, because the password was secret 01. And and if it was cracked, then they switched it to secret 02.
No.
Yeah.
I get it. That's my password. Actually, I changed it. Yeah. Tell me it's easy to crack.
If that gets cracked, it becomes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
But yeah, I capitalized the S at secret. That's
yeah, 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 yeah. But I guess it's point. Not the biggest or the safest password, even for diplomatic exchanges.
And so what did they find when they, with the hacking, what did they find? The hacking.
They found all the diplomatic emails, so it wasn't revealed what were those emails because it's top secret.
Okay,
so
okay.
It wasn't shared with the public, but it's clear that the Russian spies know everything about Hungary. Or, for example, there is several thousand Russian engineers or workers who are working at the Paks. It is the city where the power plant is, the nuclear power plant is situated. And the Hungarian agencies have not enough people speaking Russian to check their background. So a lot of spies potentially are just walking around in Hungary without knowing what is happening. So it's quite strange. And it is the unofficial part of it. And the official part is that in Hungary, the oil company is called MOL, and we are mainly using Russian oil for the economy. And it is a problem because Russian oil is a heavy oil. So it is quite a different refinery technique to refine this oil, the oil that we can import from Africa or from the States. And that's why if it is cut off, then the Hungarian economy will collapse. So it will cause major problems for us.
Yeah.
And it is now a problem, but we built our economy on that one, which was the main problem. So we were very closely connected energetically with the Russians. And now we have no escape route because we have a power plant built by the Russians, and we have all the natural resources coming from Russia. And in Hungary, for example, it isn't possible to build a wind power plant or a wind
a windmill
windmill or something like that. Because there is a regulation that it has to be 10 kilometers from the closest village, and which makes totally impossible to make. That's why no renewables are available for us to have alternative energy sources. So that's why politically and economically we are in this part very closely connected. And I guess also some ideas are coming from Russia. We are following Russia in 5 years, with a 5 years lag in that way. So first in Russia, it was also an important issue that the gay people, because the Russian idea is that Russia is a beautiful virgin who is
beautiful virgin.
Yeah. Who will be raped by the Western democracy?
So well, they're so good looking. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
The Western can't help themselves.
Yeah, and gay people and Western people are very closely connected, if you haven't known that.
Sure.
Yes. That's why I'm a plus.
Most of us are gay.
That's why. LGBTQ, lactose, gluten, and the other stuff. And that's why we are following this trend that, the gay people are bad. But it is very interesting because we have to make some kind of double talk because we are in the European Union where it is not acceptable. And we get billions of euros support from the EU. And we have to double talk that, we love gay people, but not that much. So
that's the best breakdown of how you skirt the Russia EU line I've ever heard.
I
saw you take a break real quick. We got to take a break, Cap. We're already halfway through this thing. But when we come back, I want to learn more about your the Hungary's connection with the EU and also how Orbán came to be. But before that, Kaplan, we are part of the world's smartest podcast network. It is us, Lost in America. It is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy and the Majoring in Everything podcast. And it is Professor Andrew Heaton. These people are also comedians. If you want to, they're not just boring doctors and professors. Andrew Heaton actually isn't even a professor.
He's a fraud.
He's a complete fraud. We just call him that because if you ever have lunch with him,
he will
carry himself as a professor.
He wears patches on his jackets. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Yeah. So Professor Andrew Heaton is the Political Orphanage podcast. It's for everyone who's interested in American politics, but they don't cleanly fit into the right or the left. You're the orphans. You go listen to him. He has great guests on. He had Andrew Yang on not too long ago. Gary Johnson's been on there. A bunch of great people. And Andrea Jones-Roy, Majoring in Everything. She learns about everything. So people come on and tell her about everything.
People, except she hasn't had us on yet, but we will eventually get
still
on.
Still waiting on my invite. Exactly. At some point, I'm going to stop promoting her show. Yeah. If she doesn't invite me, what do you call that? Blackmail is what I'm doing. Put me on your show or it's over.
Yeah. And I listened to it last week and he had a guest on who was laughing at every one of his jokes. Like it was the funniest thing ever. And I got angry at our guests. I'm like, they never laugh like that.
Sure. Well, he can maybe now find a new sidekick. You should get that guy on all the, you need a laugh.
Yeah, it was a woman.
Guy.
It was a woman. She had a great laugh. It was like, it was like a Robin Quivers. He found his Robin Quivers.
Yeah. I was going to say you get a laughing woman and then now all he needs a weatherman and then they're good to go.
He's traffic and weather.
Now, Kaplan, anyway. A word from our local sponsors. All right. We are back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you very much. Keeping the lights on over here. Keeping the Zoom going. All right, we're back with Gergay. So we got into, we now know that why Hungary's so connected with Russia. And I want to get into EU in a minute, but let's go backwards a little bit. When Orban got elected in 2010, did he present himself that he was going to be this strongman type, or did he change over the course of being
the prime minister of the world?
It was, I guess the main difference was not that he will be the strong guy or not. The main difference was the relation towards Russia, because he originally, and even during his first period or first term, he was a rather anti-Russian politician. But after then, there was a meeting in Moscow. No one knows what happened, but something was offered or told or happened. And after that came a very swift change, which caused a very big break even in the Fidesz Fidesz supporters, and there was the strongman, the economic strongman called Shimichko, he break up with Orban and brought with him all the media, all the support, and then he was totally economically and in a human way killed. So he's still alive, but everything was not confiscated, but all his economical interests and everything was channeled back to people loyal to Fidesz, which is very interesting, because in Russia there was a system, or there is a system very similar to Hungary, where the politics control the economics. There is a state capture, but state has captured the economic world. And in Hungary, it is the same, that the government is ruling all the economy. In some countries, there is a very strong economy, like in the US, and there is a different state capture where the economic interests or the lobby interests are taking over the government. But in Hungary, that's why very strange, because politics has nothing to do with economics in Hungary, so they are not real professionals in that part, but trying to get all the positions in the Hungarian financial world, buying out banks, ruling all the using all the EU resources to channel back to these FIDE supporting companies and people.
And, I was just going to say, for the FIDE was founded, right, as a party that was anti-communism, right? I mean,
anti-communist, anti-Russia.
Right. So how did they square? Did he have to make deals? I mean, it's amazing to square it with the people, the party leaders and everything.
I mean, I think we know what happened, Kaplan. Yeah. He went to Moscow. He got peed on. They had video. they came back and all of a sudden he supports Russia. Yeah. It's a familiar story.
Because his first time around, he was an anti-Russian leader, as you said. So it must have.
Honeypot.
You answered it for me, Turner. You're the shower. Why am I even asking? I know what happened.
It's a simple explanation. Anytime a country's leader... anytime a leader is anti-Russian, they go to Russia. 2 weeks later, they come back pro-Russian.
I can't resist getting peed on over there.
I don't think they're getting paid to do this. I think they're getting peed on to do this. They set them up with a type of prostitute. We've already said they're attractive people over there. They can't resist, and away they go.
Yeah, and just another thought about this, that we were for 40 years more than 40 years, a communist country. And in Hungary, sometimes we are not looking for solutions. We are looking for leaders. You know, that if there is a problem, then we are not trying to solve this problem, but looking for someone to blame or someone to solve the problem instead of us.
Yes.
And it is his character that... yes, I will solve everything personally. Like
sounds familiar.
A plumber that if you call me, call 11 plumber Victor, and I will solve your problem. So it's typical, for example, that the teachers have very bad salaries in Hungary. So after us in Europe, there is only North Macedonia and Serbia that has lower salaries for teachers. And they didn't raise their salaries in decades, really. Just a small amount, which is not really really considerable for them, but we have fixed some prices in the shops that they can buy some parts of the chicken and they can buy
Teachers?
No, for everyone.
Oh, okay.
Because it is the thinking that we won't solve your problem, but there is a leader who will
give you a free chicken.
Yeah, give you free chicken. Almost
it's like in New Jack
chicken.
City.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Turkeys on.
We're not going to make things. We're not going to give you more money, but we'll make certain things cheaper.
When the drug dealers hand out turkeys on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened.
Everyone in the neighborhood.
He comes around. Turkeys.
Yes, but it's very strange because in Hungary, from 1990s, there is capitalism. So there is a market economy, and after, I guess it's. 32 years of market economy, return back to communism is like you moving back to your mother when you are 70. So it's not a real cool thing to do.
It's very millennial, moving back in with your parents. Yeah. And that's the economy.
Let's get into the EU. So now Orban has this link with Russia. He's dependent on Russia because of the oil and the energy and all that. And also he got peed on allegedly. So
or paid off or something happened.
Something
probably
happened.
Peed on.
What if,
yeah, but just one moment, because the hilarious, and it will come to the EU that there is the guy who wrote the Hungarian constitution allegedly on an iPad.
The new constitution, right? He wrote, you mentioned, he wrote a new constitution when he came in 2011.
While watching Game of Thrones.
And this guy was caught in Brussels in an orgy, in a gay orgy.
I remember that. Oh. Yes. We mentioned that, I think, on the pod a few years ago, Turner.
Yeah, with some drugs in his backpack. And he was climbing down. On the plumbing, or
is his name also John Hancock?
Yeah,
John Hancock was in an orgy. True story.
Professional, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So We have very close connection with Brussels.
And it was because of all the learning about gay in school. That's why they changed
the laws?
Yeah,
maybe.
Oh, his orgy was in Brussels?
Yeah, this orgy was in Brussels in the middle of the pandemic. So the police came because it wasn't allowed to gather over 10 people. So it was a quite nice orgy if there were more than 10 people.
They weren't social distancing. That was the problem with the orgy.
They weren't
wearing masks, and it was more than 10 people.
They weren't six feet apart.
And it was all men, right? It was a gay orgy.
The invitation didn't reach the women.
So I also want to say that, because as I've been studying Hungary, Viktor Orban, your prime minister, keeps lashing out at Brussels. And he's like, what is Brussels? This is a message to Brussels. And I'm like, what? Yeah. What's going on in Brussels? And I realize the EU is headquartered in Brussels.
Yeah, that's like saying Washington, D.C., the elites in Washington.
Yeah. So if you want to be a real American blowhard, complain about Brussels if you want to complain about the EU.
If you want to be cultural.
Yeah. So he's... So not only are you're in this weird spot where you're friendly with Russia, but you're also part of the European Union. So I saw that you joined in 2004, joined the European Union. And it's one of those things where most of the European Union wants to support Ukraine, but Hungary under no circumstances will support Ukraine because of what you've just told us. So now they're at this spot where they're at odds with the European Union. And I just read the European Union is considering taking funding away. Well, let's say this. What I read was that another way Orban maintains control in Hungary is the European Union gives money to every one of their countries every year. And usually you spend it on infrastructure and just like building your country. Orban takes the money personally and spends it for his party or for his reelection campaign. Is that true?
Yeah, partly. It is more sophisticated than that. So there is a lot of stuff built in Hungary from EU funds. That means roads, railroads, and even thermal a spa for horse rehabilitation.
Okay, a spa for horse rehabilitation.
Yeah, so it is a quite diverse funding from the EU. And some
support of that.
Yeah, some of the contractors are from the near friendship, classmates or other friends of Orban, who own also a lot of media outlets.
The oligarchs.
So the money flows and gets back to the campaign and supports the Fidesz for the next win. But the strangest thing is really that we are referring the European Union, that we are a member state of, as Brussels. So as I would address my family with my address. Not my family, but Korvin Sétány 8 or Regent Street 5. So it's quite insane from us. And there was a so-called Eastern opening when we started to deal or trade with China and Russia and Kazakhstan and quite strange countries. It's not comparable with the trade relationships with the EU and even with the funds of EU. For example, there is a railroad built from Chinese funding in Hungary, which will be a return on investment in 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a bit more than Hungary exists.
The return on investment will take 1,000 years for China or for the Hungary?
For Hungary.
I was going to say, probably not for China.
Yeah, for China, it is a 1 year a return on investment.
So
it is 1,000 years.
You paid to have it built. Because I know China sometimes go to countries and will just put in infrastructure to form a bond. Yeah. But that's not the way it went.
Yeah, so that's why it is strange, because the EU is funding us, so giving us a lot of money. And now there is a legal procedure, which was accepted last year, and then it was contested by the Hungarian state at the European Court of Justice. But they told that, yes, it's totally all right to connect the funds with the rule of law. And that's why now they started this procedure, which is quite quick in terms of the EU. So what we expect that the funds, if there is no deal, will be cancelled by the end of September or the beginning of October. So that will be a huge huge hit for the Hungarian economy and for the government, because this month we have reached 83% of the total goal in the state budget. So the spendings and the...
So 83% of the budget comes from the European Union?
No. By now we have reached 83% of deficit.
Got it. Okay. So just to recap, the European Union gives money to Hungary every year to spend on all types of projects, but the European Union is now threatening to stop giving the money. And this would be the first time in history, I read. The European Union has never done this to another country. And it brings up the limits of power of the European Union. Because when the EU was small, it was easy to everyone agreed. It was Germany and like a couple other countries, and they agreed on most stuff. As the EU gets larger and larger, you're going to have governments that don't agree with Brussels, if we want to call it Brussels anymore, right? And Hungary is now the first major case of this. And so the EU, to flex their power, is now threatening to take away that funding. Are they taking the funding away because of Hungary won't agree with them on the war in Ukraine, or is it because of how the funding's being used locally?
No, it's the Ukraine is independent from that. So these proceedings or this procedure started way before the Russian-Ukrainian war. So the Ukrainian situation, it is an addition to this whole procedure.
So it's mostly because of how they're spending the money?
Because Brussels is saying that we are arguing that it is our problem that how we treat gay people and how we treat the gender issues. But Brussels' main problem, or the EU's main problem, is that the spending of the European funds is not transparent. For example, we haven't joined the OLAF, or we haven't joined the anti-corruption attorney's office in the anti-corruption office in the EU, because it is voluntary. And even now there was someone arrested, deputy chief in the ministry, who is dealing with the European with the corruption about European funds. So the anti-corruption guy was arrested, and they found, I guess, 180 million forints in a cupboard. And he told that it was raised by his mother for his pension, for her pension. So that's the main problem, that one ministry is giving the funds for the companies or for the projects, and the same ministry is checking the funds.
Yeah, they'll police themselves. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And it's, as you see, it's not very effective.
Sure. And would this be something, because it seems like now Orban has won. You have an election every 4 years, correct?
Yeah.
So he's won three times in a row. And is there any limit, or can he go forever if he keeps winning?
He can go forever, so there is no limit for him. So even Russia, there was a limit that they lifted after, and they switched places, Medvedev and Putin. But in Hungary, is no such limits. There was suggestions that there shall be a limit. But for example, the president of the state has a 2 terms limit, but one term is 5 years.
That's so more after 10 right?
years, they change now. So there was János Áder, and I guess from today, there is Katalin Novák, another president of the state in Hungary.
But the prime minister is the main...
He's unlimited.
And he's in control.
And did that start with the new constitution that he used, you mentioned they wrote, or was that always the case?
It was always the case. Okay. After the change, or I guess even in the communist era, there was no limit for running for a president.
Communist era.
But it's interesting because he's the longest reigning Hungarian prime minister, or the longest time in office for a prime minister in Hungary.
So I would imagine. So the question is, will he ever lose? And I, you know, maybe, maybe not, but I think that if the EU funding got cut off, if the EU stops giving Hungary money, would that make the economy collapse? I mean, what's more important to Hungary? The EU funding or Russia. The oil from Russia?
Because it's 60% of the oil, right? I mean, 60% of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the best solution would be, as we did it until now, this double speaking, double living, double diplomacy.
Playing both sides.
We got the oil, and we got also the European funds or European funding. But I guess in the present form, it won't work forever because the European Union is trying to be tough in this matter. And also, Hungary or the government is trying to send messages. For example, there is an independent representative in the parliament who just funded the party called Huxit, like Brexit, just Huxit. Sending the message, yes, if you do not fund us, then we will leave the...
Oh, it's like breaking up with someone before they break up with you.
Yeah. It's not in the government, but someone close to the government has started a party with this name.
And what would it? I mean, like,
to leave the European Union, right?
But if you leave the European Union, who knows how much longer Russia? You know, like Russia isn't exactly dominating this war here. You know, like it might not be a great backup plan just to hang with Russia. I mean, who knows?
I don't think that it's a good idea to hang with Russia because we get we got oil, but if we be a part of Russia, yes, we got oil, but we will be a member state of the Russian Federation. Which
you'll join Belarus,
all the other.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a beautiful future for Hungary, who fought for his independence or its independence twice against the Russians.
I mean, the Russians sent the tanks into Budapest, right? In the famous.
Yeah, in 1956. Yes. It's a strange. Situation what we're in now.
And what about the I was reading about the Visegrad group. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but basically
Visegrad,
which is Czech Republic, Poland, Slovakia,
Hungary
and Slovenia. Is that right?
It's like ex-communist.
It's Slovakia, Czech Republic and Poland and Hungary
Fourth. Okay, so 4 countries, and it's this kind of coalition to work alliance to work together on things, but I've read that it's now breaking down because of the war in Ukraine.
The other countries are all pro-Ukraine, right?
Yeah, it's quite logical because Poland is a really anti-Russian country. It is, I guess, in the European Union, the Baltics, and Poland has the worst historic experience with Russia. That's why they don't forget those things. And Hungary is not a organic part of this cooperation now. And there was a joke that there is the Visegrad 1 because it's called Visegrad 4. So it's a Visegrad 1. We are cooperating with ourselves.
It's a coalition of one.
Because the other countries, like the Czech Republic, I believe in Slovakia, used to have right-wing leaders, right? And now they've nationalist leaders, now they don't. And Poland has a right-wing leader, but he's clearly on the side of Ukraine, not Russia. So Orbán's sort of left on an island, is what you're...
So, but it's a very important issue. There are a lot of joint interests in the European Union, but I guess the existence or the sheer existence of your country is a priority, because if Russia invades you, then I guess that gay rights won't really matter. it won't be your first problem.
It's a great point.
Teaching homosexual literature to 15-year-olds won't be number one.
Self-preservation.
So, or what is your gender in your ID?
It doesn't matter if it's a Russian ID.
Who cares if you're dead?
What
I want to ask about you. So you opened the first comedy club in Hungary?
Yeah, 18 years ago, I guess.
Wow, cool.
Predate Orban.
And what's the name? Does the club still exist?
Yeah, it does. We have now 100 clubs in Hungary.
You have 100 comedy clubs?
Yeah. We have our main venue in Budapest, and we have regular performances at 100 venues in Hungary and in other parts of Europe as well, because there are a lot of Hungarians living in London, Munich, or Brussels.
I know some in the East Village here in New York, if you want to open one up here.
Yeah, I guess there were two performers from us performing in New York for Hungarians living in the US.
What's the name of your club?
It's Duma Színház. It's if you translate it, it's talk theater or something like that.
That's so cool. And what size venue is the club in Budapest?
Yes, we have a 240 seats club, and we have a smaller room. It's 74-75 people, but it is the same like in the world. So we have also arena performances. So we performed before 5,000 people or even 10,000 people. So it's quite a huge in Hungary.
That's great.
And does the government affect you at all? Like, can you as a comedian say what you want on stage?
Yeah, totally. So if you do not perform in the state television, there is no restrictions. So we are performing also on Comedy Central, so there are also no restrictions. It's a quite strict Viacom standard that there is no censorship, which makes us very happy.
What happens if you decide to give 5 minutes to the opposition leader, though? That could be the put them on Comedy Central.
We are not politicians, we are trying also to somehow talk about those issues. So we have an online show. We have a monthly show about the current situation, political issues and other stuff, which is quite popular in Hungary.
And when you started your club 18 years ago, was stand-up comedy already popular in the country?
No, there was no stand-up comedians in Hungary. Nobody knew what stand-up comedy is at all, because we had only HBO, and they showed very limited number of stand-up shows in Hungary. So we had to introduce even the genre to the people of Hungary. And we had to find performers and so on and so on.
How did you know it personally?
Because I worked when I was 17 years old, there was an HBO show, which was a licensed show in Czech Republic and Romania and even in Hungary. When they were, it was a talent show, and they try to find the comedians and perform there. And I performed there as well. It was not classic stand-up comedy, but it made me interested. What is this thing? And I started to watch it, and I traveled a lot to the US or UK and went to clubs. Or Germany, the famous German comedy scene, I try to collect the information, how to do it properly, and we had a lot of connections with US comedians in Hungary, and they made workshops here and master classes, which were very useful for us.
Who did you have come to or make the workshops? Which comedians?
We had a UK comedian called Dave Thompson.
Okay.
And we had, I have very bad.
Oh, it's okay. And what about, who were the first comedians you found that you liked watching? Like if you found them through, I guess that would be before the internet, 18 years ago?
It was the internet, but it wasn't YouTube. It was.
Did you find him on the internet, or how did you find these comedians?
It was on internet, and it was also some shows on HBO in the late night.
Do you remember your favorite comedians early on?
It's hard to remember what was on. I bought a lot of DVDs, and my first DVD was a Richard Pryor DVD, which was I guess when he first performed for the audience, that's something.
That's how.
And I had also some Robin Williams stuff and Eddie Murphy, what I could buy, but it was coded DVD, so the Hungarian DVD players didn't play it. So it had to make some tricks too, because there was a regional code. Yeah.
PAL, NTSC, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Old days.
And so when you stand up to your club, when you open the club, you also then have to train people. You give people stage time. Like you have to cultivate a whole scene of comedians. You have to bring... Yeah. You have to introduce even the comedians to the comedy, right?
Yeah. It was a very small venue in the city of Budapest. 70 people could be seated. And sometimes there were not only punters or audience, but also regular guests who didn't know about the whole thing. And they shouted that, shut up, I want to talk to my friends.
Oh, you did. We call that surprise comedy.
Yeah.
You're surprising the audience.
Surprise for everyone.
Yeah, there's a comedy show. Surprise.
Yeah. And a lot of people didn't understand what this thing is all about, because it was really a word of mouth that brought us the comedians or the candidates for the talent shows or the open mics. And there were very strange guys. There was a guy standing on stage with a chicken. And a chicken laid two eggs during his performance, and he forgot totally, completely about the chicken. So it was...
That was his show?
Yeah, it was... And there was another guy dancing with a sex doll on stage.
Okay.
But he forgot to bring the CD with him. And that's why I told the audience that you have to imagine... the song, and everyone there was a numb silence, everybody sitting there, and he was dancing with a rubber doll. So
there's something
very strange moments.
So I also started a club in a scene. I started my comedy career in China, and there was no comedy at all. And I similar experience in the sense that when no one is influenced by previous stand-up comedians, it makes the imagination like it becomes, they can do whatever they want because they don't think of the restrictions of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. So sure, someone standing on chains. I remember some guy, I remember Drew Freilich, this is friend of ours, comedian, but early on didn't know what to do. So he had people dress up like ninjas and like pop out of the audience and attack him on stage. And that was part of his show. And I don't even know what he was doing, but you could do anything, you know, it was this crazy thing. So cool. And then eventually you Comedy Central came to Hungary and you became the head of Comedy Central, right?
I was first hired as a project manager because I'm originally a lawyer. And they told me that they know that I started the comedy scene, that part of the comedy scene, and I was I won the award of the best comedian in Hungary when I was very young. And they thought that it's a good idea that I'm a lawyer and I'm a comedian, that as a project manager, let's do it in Hungary. And after I finished the job, so there was up and running, the channel was up and running, they told me that let's stay with us and be the director of the channel. And after that, I started to help out the Polish colleagues with launching the first show on Comedy Central. They even worked in Russia, launching the Paramount Comedy Channel in Russia. Wow. And started the Romanian, the Serbian stand-up scene and the show. So it was very, very funny because I had to somehow understand what they were saying, when what were the punchlines, and try to study Polish in half a year, was quite a big.
So you started Comedy Central in all these countries?
Yeah, in some countries I started the whole channel. In some countries I started the local stand-up show, the Comedy Central Presents.
Yeah, because I remember when Comedy Central opened in Asia, most of the programming would just be shows from the U.S. But then they started building their own local shows and like a stand-up showcase where I always tried to get on it. And then I was told after a couple of years that I was white and they don't want white people on Comedy Central Asia. They're like, we're looking for Asians.
Cultural appropriation.
Whatever you want to call it. You can also call it racism, but whatever. Sure. Cultural. I was somehow appropriating their culture. Yeah. Anyway, point is, that's awesome. That's very cool.
It was fun. I have to tell you that there were moments that I remember even now. That for example, in Russia there was a casting, and in Russia there was hard censorship. And local guys told me that there are certain issues, for example, politics, you don't talk about. But in Russia there is no political correctness at all. So zero.
That's why they love them.
The minus. So if you are politically incorrect, that is the standard.
No cancel culture in Russia.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a performer from Belarus who escaped from them to Russia. Good idea. And
this is not Misha.
And his act was, you have to check it out on YouTube. There is a video where Putin and Medvedev are playing badminton. And he commented this.
Commented on their game.
In a very funny way. And I didn't understand everything in Russian, but what I understood was hilarious. And they told me that, please don't try it on the show because you will be arrested and the channel closed down. So not a very good idea.
Yeah. So not for TV. You can do it in the club, but not.
Putin doesn't notice the comedians on the stage, but put it on TV.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for doing this show, man. Gergei Likoy. So great to have you. We have a true legend, a comedy legend, Eastern European comedy legend on the show. Very exciting. That is it. We enjoyed learning about Viktor Orban. We'll see what happens soon. We'll see. It is interesting, this poll between the European Union and Russia, which way to go, you know? Hopefully stay in the middle.
I just one addition to that because if you are editing this, then I checked the numbers for the voters, and now the letters came in. So altogether, it was more than 3 million votes for Orban.
More than 3 million. Sounds good.
We had some late arriving votes. Some mail votes came in while we were doing this podcast.
Yeah. The votes are still, they're still being tallied.
The vote machine. You're over there checking the numbers. He's our Kornacki over there. He's right.
That is it. Gergay Litkoi, thank you for doing the show. Where can people find you? I know I've seen videos of you on YouTube. And our audience, even though they speak English, they like watching videos in other languages. It's just stand-up videos. So where should people find your comedy?
You can find it on YouTube or on Facebook. There is a very funny Facebook video on the page of the Hungarian Greenpeace that I did about the Hungarian lake, which is a national park, and they're trying to build a 100-unit apartment hotel. And I made a funny video about this because it's quite unique, I guess. No, not a lot of people are doing that in the comedian community.
Amazing. All right, awesome. Gergay Litkoi, thank you for doing it. Kaplan, that is it. What should we do?
Excellent podcast. Thanks so much. And it's time we get lost.
Get lost.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.